Let's read together Revelation chapter 14. In this chapter, we have a number of details presented about events taking place during the tribulation period and at the end of the tribulation period. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Revelation chapter 14, with some background notes. In Revelation chapter 13, we had descriptions of the two beasts that will come on the scene during the tribulation period of the future. We saw that one is the notorious leader of the revived Roman Empire, whose number is 666, and the other beast is known as the false prophet. We saw that the false prophet makes an image to the Roman beast and directs worship to this world leader and causes everyone to receive the mark of the beast. That was Revelation chapter 13. When we come to Revelation chapter 16, we will read of seven angels who pour out seven bowls of God's judgment on this earth. Now, Revelation chapters 14 and 15 are an introduction or prelude to these bowl judgments. Here in Revelation chapter 14, we have a number of details presented about events taking place during the tribulation period and at the end of the tribulation period. We will present these details under our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the 144,000 are the first fruits from the tribulation period. The 144,000 are the first fruits from the tribulation period. Here in the first five verses of the chapter that we just read, we see the 144,000 once again. Remember, the 144,000 were first mentioned back in Revelation chapter 7. We saw there that the 144,000 are Jewish believers of the tribulation period, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And they are special servants of the Lord during the tribulation period, probably evangelists spreading the gospel of the kingdom worldwide. They are not the church, which is in heaven during the tribulation period. We saw in chapter 7 that the 144,000 are sealed and protected from death during their time of service. Now here in chapter 14, we see the 144,000 standing with the Lord on Mount Zion, and they are referred to in verse 4 as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. This scene anticipates their entering alive into the millennial kingdom of Christ at the end of the tribulation period as the first fruits of all believers who will be part of that kingdom, including the church, who returns with Christ to the earth at that time. The 144,000 are praised for their moral purity and integrity, and on earth they sing a new song, a song that John hears being sung in heaven, probably being sung by the martyred believers that we saw under the fifth seal back in Revelation chapter 6. Now, other Jewish and Gentile believers will also live through the tribulation period to enter alive into the millennial kingdom of Christ. But the 144,000 are the first fruits from the tribulation period. Doctrinal point number two, the eternal gospel will be preached during the tribulation period. The eternal gospel will be preached during the tribulation period. Verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." The gospel has always been a response in faith to the one true God. That was true in the Old Testament. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, Genesis 15, verse 6. It is true now, in New Testament times, when we respond in faith to God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And it will be true during the tribulation period of the future, when people will acknowledge that God, the Creator, is rightly judging this world, and they respond to the gospel of the kingdom, that Christ is coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. The eternal gospel will be preached during the tribulation period. Doctrinal point number 3. The fall of Babylon will take place at the end of the tribulation period. The fall of Babylon will take place at the end of the tribulation period. Verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. End time Babylon will be the center of the one world religion and one world government of the last days. We read about the judgment of Babylon near the end of the tribulation period in chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation. Here in chapter 14, that judgment is anticipated. The fall of Babylon will take place at the end of the tribulation period. Doctrinal point number 4. The eternal punishment of hell will be the destiny of those who worship the beast in the tribulation period. The eternal punishment of hell will be the destiny of those who worship the beast in the tribulation period. Verses 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 14, beginning now at verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. The doctrine of hell is not a pleasant doctrine. But ultimately, it is what is true that counts, not what we would like to be true. The Bible teaches that there is a hell, and it is a place of eternal punishment for the damned. It is not annihilation of the damned, and there is no escape from hell. Here in Revelation chapter 14, we see that the unbelievers of the tribulation period who worship the beast and receive his mark will be in hell. The eternal punishment of hell will be the destiny of those who worship the beast in the tribulation period. And doctrinal point number 5, the final harvest and vintage will conclude the tribulation period. The final harvest and vintage will conclude the tribulation period. Verses 14 through 20. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Then another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. The blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs or about 200 miles. Now, what's the difference here between the harvest of grain and the vintage of grapes? Not everyone is agreed, but we can build a pretty good case that the harvest of grain here is the same as the harvest of Matthew chapter 13, verse 30, which is the separation of the wheat and the tares at the end of the age. At that time, the Lord as the Son of Man, here in verse 14, will direct his holy angels to reap the earth and separate the wheat from the tares. The vintage of grapes here, in verse 17 through 20, has to do with the vine of the earth. Is not the vine of the earth in Scripture the nation of Israel? Now we know that in the last days, a great number of Jewish people will turn to the Lord, according to Romans chapter 11. How many? One-third of the nation, according to Zechariah chapter 13. I will bring one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13, verse 9. What about the other two-thirds of the nation who continue to reject Jesus as the Messiah of Israel? According to Zechariah 13, verse 8, they are cut off and perish. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. Zechariah 13, 8. This judgment of apostate Judaism may be what's in view here in Revelation chapter 14, outside the city of Jerusalem. Verse 20. Blood coming up to the horse's bridles that we read about in verse 20 here in Revelation 14 is not easy to interpret. Is it just symbolic for a lot of bloodshed? Or will the armies of the last days have to resort to horses because fossil fuels will have run out? And does the blood just splatter on horses' bridles? Or will the bridles drag on blood-soaked ground? Or will there be actual pools of blood 4.5 feet deep scattered along the 200-mile length of Israel? We don't know at this point. And to be dogmatic in our interpretation would be foolish. We do know that the final harvest and vintage will conclude the tribulation period. What about practical application from Revelation chapter 14? Will you rest from your labors? Will you rest from your labors? Verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. In the context here, these verses refer to the faithful during the tribulation period who refuse to bow to the beast and refuse to receive his mark. And as a result, they are martyred for their faith. Now there is an application here for all Christians today. Will you rest from your labors when you meet the Lord? You can't rest from your labors if you haven't labored. And your works can't follow you for reward, verse 13, if you haven't worked or done anything. It's a wonderful blessing to die in the Lord as a believer. All believers will be with the Lord forever in heaven and in his 1,000-year kingdom here on this earth. But will you rest from your labors?